Some 1600 years ago, when St. Augustine of Hippo was ordained as a bishop, he said in his homily on that occasion to the people, "With you I am a Christian, for you I am a bishop." Those are really profound words. With you I am a Christian. Like you, called by Christ to be a disciple of Christ. Like you, called to lay aside my sinfulness and follow the way of the Lord to holiness. But St. Augustine also knew that, like his people, he would have the same struggles, he would have the same temptations, he would have the same humanity that they all shared. As a human being, he had his own personal likes and dislikes, setbacks and appointments, he had the same kinds of joys and sorrows, etc. And so with you, I'm a Christian. With you, I share all these different struggles. But for you, he says, I'm a bishop, meaning that I'm here to guide you to the way of Christ, to teach you his way, to teach you his truth, to aid you by the sacraments, to give you counsel, to give you encouragement in living the Christian life. For you a bishop, with you a Christian. And how could he say that unless he would look at Christ? And Christ is telling us virtually the very same thing. Where Jesus can say to you and to me, to all humanity for all time, with you I'm a man, with you I'm a human being. And we know that, that Christ would allow himself to share everything, as St. Paul says. He became like us in all things but sin, sharing our joys and our sorrows, times that he was exhilarated, times that he was tired. He felt hunger, he felt thirst, he felt human emotions. He encountered human struggles, as we all do. But also at the same time, while Jesus says, for you and me, I am a man, I'm like you in all things, for you, I am God, and he is. Christ is divine, we know that. The second person of the Trinity, divine in nature. He is God from God. He is free from sin. But in his humility, in humbling himself, even though he's God, look at what he does for us who are so prideful and so arrogant. In our pride, we sin against God and we lose our communion with him. But Christ humbles himself and becomes like us in every way but sin, to accept our sin and to substitute himself for us on the cross. Jesus accepted the burden of sin, allowing himself to die. But then as God, he would rise from the dead in his humanity to reestablish communion between God and man. And what Jesus has done, he has replaced guilt with grace. He has replaced life with death. Well, death with life, excuse me, the other way around. He takes away the guilt to give us grace. He takes away death to give us life. Because of that, as St. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, brothers and sisters, you and I are no longer simply creatures in the flesh. We know that we are body and soul, and both are damaged because of original sin, but baptism has taken that away. We died with Christ, as we heard last week in his letter to the Romans, but the Spirit of God now dwells in us. We have been made a new creation, changed by the very breath of God, reformed, if you would, through baptism and receiving the fullness of his gifts at confirmation. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him, but we do. And if we share that same Spirit, then we should be living according to that Spirit, allowing Christ to live in us and we living in Christ. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through the Spirit that dwells in you. He enlightens our minds, purifies our hearts, our minds, our souls, makes of us a new creation to be holy as God calls us to be holy. We are not debtors to the flesh, which means that we don't have to give in to every human desire. We don't have to give in to every human passion. We don't have to give in to every temptation, every weakness. Instead, we live not according to the flesh, but the Spirit who calls us into something greater. If we live only according to the flesh, then like the flesh, we will die. If, however, we live by the Spirit of God, we put to death those deeds of the body that keep us in chains and live according to the Spirit that makes us sons and daughters of God, brothers and sisters of Christ. Jesus did not take the reality of sin completely away. We know that. We're still born under the curse of original sin. We're still left weakened by it. But we also take hope in the fact that Jesus took away the power and the end result of sin. As I said last week, we sin not because we have to, but because we choose to. We don't need to suffer eternal damnation. We can live with Christ if we live according to that Spirit that He gave us. We are, however, as we all know, still free agents. We still have a free will. We are still sinners who, in that free will, sadly, oftentimes will make the wrong choices. And with those wrong choices, we push ourselves further and further away from God. When that happens, we make trouble for ourselves. We make trouble for other people, but then God calls us to repentance, to make peace, to be at peace with God, to be at peace with others, be at peace within ourselves. By God's mercy and forgiveness, we receive absolution and we seek to live in grace and in love. And that is what brings us peace. Come to me, Jesus says. All you who labor and are burdened, I will give you rest. I'll give you the peace of the world cannot give. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. We cannot be so arrogant as to think that we know everything. We don't. We cannot be so prideful as to think that we don't need God, because we do. We have to be like the little ones that Jesus talks about and learn the truth that comes only from Christ, the truth of the Father revealed by Christ that we simply will not find out by ourselves unless the Spirit reveals to us. We need to know. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. You'll find rest for yourselves. My yoke is easy and my burden light. If any of you knew any old-time farmers, and many of us did, you would realize that a yoke and a harness are two different things. A harness was used for one animal, like you'd harness a mule to the plow, you could harness the horse to the buggy or the wagon, or you'd use a yoke if you had a very heavy burden. When I was a little kid, we had one of my dad's friends who used to bale his hay the old-fashioned way, and he had a wagon, and he had two yoke of oxen to pull the wagon. And that's just it. The yoke was meant for two. When Christ calls us to follow His commandments, when Christ tells us to live according to the gospel, we can look and say, but I'm a sinner, this is too difficult. And Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You're not doing this by yourself. I'm doing it with you. The yoke is for two, not just for one. And He's with us every step of the way. And if Christ does that for us, He's calling us to do that also for one another. And that's the burden of the cross. The burden of the cross is accepting our weak humanity, and it's accepting the weak humanity of everybody else, which is sometimes not a very pleasant thing to do. As I heard a character in a movie once say, there ain't nobody perfect but the Lord Jesus Himself. And that's true. There ain't nobody perfect but the Lord Jesus Himself. But He is calling us to perfection, to be better and better each day by the power of His grace, to do the best that we can with His help. So my brothers and sisters, stay close to Him. Stay close to the Lord who wants to be close to you, to share that burden. Speak with Him. Listen to Him. Love Him. As Jesus says, if you love me, then do what I command. Love God the Father with your whole being. Love your neighbor as yourself and follow me. Believe my truth. Follow my way. Live my life. That's what we want to do, is keep the focus. The life of Christ is always before us, and life with Christ is what we strive for. That's our destiny, to do whatever we can to remain in grace and to share eternal life with Him. And ask the Lord, what can I do, Lord, to be able to live your life here and share life with you forever? And Christ reminds us that as He has shared our burdens, so He wants us to share one another's burdens. In the gospel, we see where Jesus is on the way to Calvary and Simon the Cyrenian comes to help Jesus to carry his cross. And so we help one another to help carry each other's crosses. It's too easy. You know, we mock people. We like to ridicule others. We insult them sometimes. We complain. We deride. We belittle. And we're human. We do it all the time. But that's not the Christian way. Jesus says, help them. Teach them. Correct them. Love them. And pray for them. If you don't know what to do to help another, simply ask. If they say they just want to be left alone, we leave them alone. If helping them means that, we still love them, we still pray for them, and keep the door open for them. What Christ is asking us to do is to live not according to the flesh, but the Spirit. Don't walk in agreement with the unjust and the sinful. Don't go around being nosy and curious about things, then try to blab things that we think that we know. He wants us to give and not just take. To be generous, not greedy. In a word, not to become a burden, but to be a blessing. Never to become a burden, but always to be a blessing to others instead. After all, if you and I call ourselves disciples of Jesus, if we call ourselves Christians, and we are, then you and I must bear in our hearts the same feelings of love, the same feelings of mercy, the same feelings of compassion that Jesus had. That like Christ, we would desire nothing but the will of God our Father, and have the same determination and action to go about as Jesus did, doing good. Our strength is found in prayer, it's found in a clean heart, and in the sacraments that Christ gave us. With us, Christ is man. For us, Christ is God. With one another, we are Christians. For one another, we must be Christ. With one another, we are Christians. For one another, we must be Christ.